Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Denny Huff. Brought to you by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Now, let's meet the people. Welcome to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Denny Huff.
And I'm Chip Haley. And we are just so excited about today's guest and to bring you a brand new edition of Meet the People of MCB.
And today's guest is one that I am not really familiar with. I've known her and met her, but you know, she's one of those ladies that kind of gets away from you, and you just can't find out a lot about her. But we're going to find out something today. We really are. Nancy Hodson. How you doing, Nancy?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. And where are you from?
Well, I live in Springfield and have for a long time, but I'm really from Jasper County, down near Chip.
Oh, really? Down around the Joplin area, huh?
I grew up in Alba.
Alba.
Which is just a ways out of Joplin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, you don't have a vision problem, do you? I mean, you're fully sighted?
I am fully sighted.
Yeah, okay. And you're a member of the affiliate in Springfield. Which one is that?
The Queen City Council of the Blind.
Queen City Council of the Blind. Okay. Well, I know Chip has known you a lot better than I have, so I'm going to let him take over and ask some questions here, Nancy, and I'll be looking forward to learning more about you.
Okay. Yeah, Nancy, you know, you go way back, and I always remember getting to know you a lot better at summer camp. You were always, you know, really famous for dealing the cards when we would play Pass the Trash and different things like that. It was just always such a delight, you know, to sit around and visit with Rosario. And but what was it about MCB that attracted you and Rosario to the organization?
Well, Rosario was already a member of the service club here in Springfield, even when I got acquainted with him. And after I retired in 94, I also joined, and we were members of the service club 3 or 4 years, and then we started Queen City. So I've been a member since 94.
Yeah. And so you mentioned about when you retired. So what type of work did you do?
I was a teacher. I taught physical education, and then as Title IX came in and freed the slaves or the girls, I coached some different sports.
And was that around here in the Joplin area?
No, I was up here in the Springfield. Actually, I came to Springfield to go to school. And then I taught a couple of other places, and I came to Ozark High School. And that was the first year after Title IX. And as most schools weren't real happy to have to start doing girls' sports, because it meant they had to split their facilities and their money. And they weren't real happy about that. And even though I wasn't a qualified coach, I was the head coach of volleyball, basketball, and track.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned that you're a member. You mentioned that you're a member of Queen City. I know that you've held different positions. You're the current treasurer there now?
Well, not officially.
Okay.
The official treasurer is living in Texas now while our grandson's going to school. And she leaves me all the stuff, and I do what, you know, we haven't really been doing very much. But they always called me the corresponding secretary.
Ah, okay.
Now, all that really meant was everything that had to be in writing or in print, I did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The office calls me the membership manager or something like that.
Okay.
So, Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, really, the main thing I did for them was I prepared and served their meals for them at their regular meetings.
I remember you doing that when I visited down there when I was president. And I know you served the meals, and that was really a good meal, too. I remember that. That was good. And tell me, you remember the Queen City. Are you all meeting together right now or not?
We are not.
You're not.
We haven't met since, well, whenever the pandemic. You know, we meet at the church I attend, and the church had to close, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so we couldn't, and so we have not had, now they do meet on the, by telephone.
Oh, okay.
But it's really hard to get very much participation on the telephone.
I know what you mean. Sure do. And it's hard to serve a meal over the phone, too, isn't it?
Yeah. I've told them that when we come back, I won't be doing that anymore. I've had some significant birthdays, and I just decided that that was really more than I wanted to continue. So they've talked about it, and they're thinking they'll do a sack lunch or something like that. So I really hated that, but it did get to be kind of hard for me to get it all together.
Chip?
Yeah, Nancy, I know I did want to ask you this. You know, when Denny instituted the Member of the Month program, I think you were probably one of the initial people involved with it. I know Yvonne Schnitzler, I think, chaired that committee, but you've been a part of that. So tell us a little bit about that and what that means to you.
Well, I think it's really important for the membership as a whole to get to know about people who work really hard for this organization, but don't get a lot of press, so to speak, and people don't really know about them. The hardest part for the committee is to get people to make nominations.
Yeah.
We are always out there trying to get people to nominate somebody in their group who makes a positive contribution. I think maybe they think they have to do something really big, and they really don't. They just need to be a good participant.
Yeah.
And, you know, on that subject, it's I think a lot of people want to do it and think about doing it, but they just keep putting it off and don't follow through with it. I know our affiliate, there's a couple of people we need to nominate, and we just haven't done it. Not sure why we haven't, but they need to be acknowledged. Like you said, Nancy, there's a lot of good people out there doing a lot of good things for MCB, and they don't get the recognition that they deserve. And that's one of the reasons we started this Meet the People of MCB. We wanted everybody to meet people like Nancy Hodgson. You know, you've been a longtime member. You've contributed a lot to the affiliate there in Queen City, and also to MCB, serving on that membership committee. And I'm sure you've done other things, but you know, it's people like you that we want others to get to know, and appreciate your service so much, Nancy. Really do.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you. It was a labor of love. I liked doing the things that I did. You know, I liked to drive, and so to take a group to convention or to camp or whatever, that wasn't a chore. It was something I liked to do anyway.
Nancy, if you don't mind, I want to go back. You know, maybe there's some people that's listening to this edition of Meet the People of MCB that maybe don't know you all that well, because we've had some new members come into the organization. If you don't mind, if we could go back and just share a little bit about your time with Rosario and what life was like.
Well, Rosario and I met in, I think it was 87. And he, you know, was totally blind, and therefore there were a lot of things that he couldn't do or just didn't have the opportunity to do. And so we had a lot of adventures. We've driven all over Europe, and he would, we'd ask directions, and he'd said, "Now I'll listen to what they say, and you watch where they point." and that's how we got around. I mean, we just cooperated on a lot of things, and we had a lot of good times. And of course, his family had a house in Italy, and we would go there and live for a while, and got to be involved with his family that lives there, and we had a great time together.
It was really unfortunate that, you know, they didn't have the technology back there then when Rosario was still living like what we do today. But I just have such fond memories of him, you know, and when we were at camp, just spending time there, visiting with him, talking with him, and really getting to know him and just laughing together about different things. And I know when you mentioned about going to Italy, I know that Jerry Annunzio and his wife would also take time during the summer and go over to, you know, to Italy as well. So now, I know that was something that you guys shared in common.
Yeah. They and the Freemans came to Italy and stayed at our house with us. It's not a very big apartment, but we had enough beds, and we there were six of us sharing one bathroom, but we had a great time together, Ed and Roy and Ed and Jerry. It was fun.
Yeah.
Nancy, talking about living in Italy, I love Italian food, and I'm just asking you, wondering, is there any comparison to the Italian food you get in Italy to the Italian food you get here in America? Is it the same or a lot different or better or worse or what?
Well, it's pretty similar. You know, Rosario's family, as long as his mother was alive, they didn't have any other kind of food in the house, hardly. I mean, they just, and Rosario was a great cook, and he cooked only Italian food. And I've eaten in lots of the homes there in Italy, and it's not that different. The pizzas are different, but as far as the pastas and the sauces and that kind of thing, not that different.
Well, no, Nancy, I remember you told me at one time, it was either you or Rosario, that I found very interesting that the people in Italy would come out of their homes in the early evening just to go out for a walk. Was that still the case?
Well, it's not as much now. You know, the first year I went to Italy with Rosario was, I think, 88. And nobody, including businesses, had air conditioning. Well, it's pretty hot in southern Italy in the summertime. And so I really believe that's one of the main reasons. Now, more people have air conditioning. And you know, they're just like us. They can sit in front of their TV in the house and be comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And their house is on a really busy, not a traffic street, but more like a walking street. I mean, cars can go on it, but of an evening they block it off, and it would just be like shoulder to shoulder with people walking up and down this street. And you would meet your friends and your neighbors. You'd stop and visit, and it was a big social time.
Yeah.
But I haven't been there at that house in the summertime now for about 5 years, and it was pretty much different then.
Yeah.
Well, that brings back memories growing up. We didn't have air conditioning in our home either, and
that's right.
Every evening
that's right.
we'd go outside and sit out in the front yard in the lawn in the lawn chairs and just enjoy the evening. And Mom and Dad finally got air conditioning after I moved out, and I'm not sure what that's saying. I guess that they felt like if they got air conditioning, I wouldn't leave. Yeah, right. So,
well, you know, the interesting thing about that is that, you know, people used to check on their neighbors, you know, in the summertime, you know, make sure they're all right. But when we got air conditioning in our homes, we quit doing all that kind of stuff. And so we've lost that connection with our neighbors.
Yeah, blame it on the air conditioning. Yeah. Yep.
Well, there are a lot of things. When I first started going to Italy, they didn't have what we'd call a supermarket. You would go to a store and you could only buy meat there. Mm-hmm. You'd go to another store and they only had bread. Mm-hmm. And to go to the fruit market to get your fruits and vegetables and things. Mm-hmm. And then they started having supermarkets. It has destroyed the fresh markets, the fruit and vegetable markets. And people, they just go to the store and they get everything at once, and they go home and they stay in their house. When I first went, the refrigerators were all the size of these you see in the store for a dorm room. Everybody has a regular size refrigerator, and they can buy their groceries for the whole week instead of going to the store every day.
Well, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say they've changed their way of life
over
that period of time.
Yeah, we used to, you know, go out and visit family, get together maybe once a week, have dinner, Sunday dinner or whatever. Then got the telephone and started calling each other. Didn't have to go and visit them in person. We could just talk to them on the telephone. And now we have social media, and we don't have to use a telephone anymore. We just texted.
That's right.
You know, it's an ever-changing world, Nancy Chip. It really is.
It is.
Well, you remember, Denny, you were talking the other day, and Nancy, you may have done this as well, that, you know, when I was a kid, and Denny mentioned it the other day, that when we were growing up, it was always a big deal after church on Sunday afternoon, all the family get in the car, and we just go for a Sunday drive, you know, in the country or someplace.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, sure did. Just go out and see how the country has changed. Go ahead.
That was my dad's favorite thing, was to go on a ride. And I remember as a kid thinking, I didn't want to do that. I don't know, it was boring to sit there in the car with my folks all afternoon.
It was a lot of good memories, though. Sure are. So I remember me and my sister fighting in the back seat, you know. She's on my side of the seat, Dad. So, things like that. But Chip, another question?
Yeah, Nancy, so if you don't mind me asking, how long now has Rosario been gone?
It'll be 11 years this spring. No, just 10 this spring.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, I know that you're a huge, because I talked to you about it yesterday, and of course I always knew about it, but you've been a big St. Louis Cardinals fan for many, many years. Was Rosario, was he a big Cardinals fan too?
He was a big baseball fan, and you know, he'd lived in New York for quite a long time, and I don't know if he was a Yankees fan or maybe Brooklyn Dodgers or something, because he lived in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But, he became more of a Cardinals fan because he, you know, baseball is one of the sports that a blind person can follow easier than, and I'm also a big basketball fan, and he wouldn't ever go to the basketball games because he said it was just noise to him. He couldn't, he couldn't visualize basketball, but baseball he could visualize, and we went to several games.
Well, hopefully they'll have a season this year.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't know. Greed's a big problem for our culture.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I figure that both sides are too greedy to get together.
Yep, I'm just going to say it's on both parts. Yep, the owners and the players.
It is.
Yeah.
But Nancy, you're not only a big Cardinals fan, but you're a big Missouri State Lady Bears fan as well.
I am, and we've had a real tough season in that two of our best players went down with knee injuries, but we have a marvelous coach, and she has come around, and she's got them winning, and it's fun. I have a season ticket, and, you know, for years, I took Marilyn Tuso to all of those games, but she got to where it was just too hard for her to do that. To go to the game. And she went to the games and listened to it on the radio. So now she just listens at home.
It was just
too hard.
Right. Yeah, I know that she's still a big Lady Bears fan. She's always talking about it.
Oh, so. She is.
Yeah.
Now, didn't they go to the Nationals a couple of years ago, or the Lady Bears?
Well, they went to they've been in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Several times, but last year we went to the Sweet 16 and got beat out by Stanford, who won it.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before we went to the 16.
Yeah.
But we have two times we went to the Final Four, but they're kind of in the distance now. One of them was in the 90s, and the other one was in 2001, I believe. So.
Well, with there being hundreds of teams, you know, making it to the Sweet 16 is quite an accomplishment. It really is.
And we have a chance, even with our two starters that went down with knee injuries. She's done a great job with preparing the other players to be a winning team as well. And so we're seated second in the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a mark of a good coach.
It really is.
Well, Nancy, you've been a member of the organization for more than 30 years. Can you share with us maybe some of your best moments in the organization, or maybe some changes that you've seen over the years that stand out in your mind, or experiences that you've had?
Well, like you mentioned before, I always thought camp was great. And back in the years ago when we had the camp full and the talent show would just be like a professional deal almost. The talents were so good, and it was just a great time to get to know each other and probably meet somebody new each year. And I always enjoyed going to conventions.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you know, something else we used to do, I just thought of. Back before we got on the telephone to have our board meetings, we used to go to board meetings wherever it was. Mm-hmm. Like, I've driven them to St. Louis and all over. Mm-hmm. And they would provide a room for whoever our representative was. And they'd provide a room for me because I was the driver. So we could take a couple of extra people from our club so they could go and hear and see what was going on. And those were great times.
Yes.
And since you do it on the telephone now, I don't even listen.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, I'm just not that big into listening on the telephone.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll get back to meeting in person, because I miss that so much. If we get this whole pandemic thing behind us, and you know, in October, hopefully we'll be able to meet again face to face at our.
Well, we are meeting in person this year, aren't we? In October,
well, we're planning to.
Yeah. But it seems like the pandemic is about to wind down, from what I hear. A lot fewer cases of COVID being whatever.
yeah
Well, the hospitalizations are certainly down.
Right.
But I've known of people, they've had it, but they were vaccinated people, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a big deal.
Right, right.
And so, I mean, we all come through colds and the flu and all that kind of stuff and do okay. And that seems like what it's like now.
Right.
More.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It sure is. So, as we are speaking, recording this, there's a big convoy of trucks running through my neighborhood down I-44. I'm about a half a mile from 44.
Oh, yeah, the protest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the People's Convoy, they call it. But, they're going through here right now. So just wave at them, and we'll support them, sure will. So,
yeah.
Chip, you want to ask your famous or infamous last question?
I sure will. I always enjoy doing it. Nancy, I tell you, I just always enjoy reminiscing about old times, you know, because you and Rosario and so many of my friends back there then, you know, you mentioned the Freemans, and of course, Bill and Linda Burris were really dear friends of ours. And, you know, things happen. You know, we've lost people over the years. But I do want to ask you, is there anything about Nancy Hodson that really hardly anybody knows except those that are closest and dearest to you that you wouldn't mind sharing with our listening audience?
Well, I don't know. What I had thought I would say was, and this is true, I've made 25 trips to Europe.
Mm, wow.
But we've already talked about the time that we drove all over Europe between Rosario and I, but that's probably... That's me apart from others. Probably that's maybe the most trips. And I didn't just go to Italy. I've been in a lot of different countries in Europe.
Mm. Well, what I found interesting was that you were a PE coach. I had no idea that you were a, you know, physical education coach and coached volleyball everything. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
What kind of record did you have with your teams, or do you recall?
Well, you know, I coached basketball about 3 or 4 years, but I don't know. We weren't that successful, and I think the people in Ozark, if we're going to pay for these girls to have a team, we better get them to win. And so I stopped that. When I coached my first volleyball game, it was the first game, official game, I had ever seen. I had never seen a volleyball game with
really?
Officials.
Did the
people in Ozark, did the administrators care? Not a bit.
Really?
Wow.
We were very successful. We won the conference probably over half the time that I coached.
Hmm.
We went to the Final Four of the state tournament.
Wow.
Volleyball turned out to be my good sport. I didn't stay with track all that long. Well, longer than basketball, I guess. But I came in as the coach of everything they had. And when I left, they had 5 volleyball coaches.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Nancy, you mentioned about the different countries. Is there any one country that you really enjoyed more maybe than some of the others in Europe?
Well, we spent quite a bit of time in Germany, and those people were very kind, and I like them, but I don't speak German, and that's a bit of a problem. And of course, when we were in Italy, Rosario had tons of cousins that still live there, and we watched those kids grow up and have families, and, you know, that would, I guess, have to be my favorite now. But traveling in England and Scotland and Wales, they all speak English, and that's fun.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you would like to add, Nancy, before we close this out?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think of anything now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I really have enjoyed MCB. I I doubt if we can ever come back to the way it was, but I hope we could.
Okay. Well, with people like you and our organization, we stand a chance of having one of the best, and we do have one of the best just because of people like you, Nancy.
Really do. That's right. Yeah.
Thank you, folks, for listening to this edition of Meet the People of MCB. If you have a person that you would like for Chip and I to interview, please give me a call at 636-428-1500 or call Chip at
417-540-9703.
Thanks again, Nancy, for being our guest on Meet the People of MCB. And folks, stay tuned. Next time you hear Meet the People, you might even hear yourself on here. Thank y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.